Turning Point is brought to you by PC Wealth Management of Morgan Stanley Smith Barney and the law firm of Duffy & Duffy, protecting the victims of medical error.
Our very special guest today is the very well-rounded Renaissance woman, Carol Alt, supermodel, author, actress, entrepreneur, just
all
about
around
everything.
Good guy, yeah.
All-around good guy, and strangely enough, former U.S. soldier.
Well, Army ROTC, yes.
Yes.
How'd you know that?
I picked up things along the way.
Your Carol Alt trivia book.
Yeah. So what was your military background, ROTC?
Well, when I was in high school, my father realized I had a 97.5 average, so he wanted me to go into one of those beauty pageants where you had to take a test beforehand. I couldn't see myself as beautiful. So the one that I went for, I failed miserably because I wasn't, in my brain, beautiful. But when I went for Army ROTC, they turned me down because you know what they said? She wasn't well-rounded enough, which is what you started our conversation off saying. Well-rounded. I lost the scholarship, but I went into the Army, ROTC, at Hofstra University in order to then reapply for the scholarship, which I did get the following year.
Why did you not feel beautiful? I mean, let's talk about that.
I mean, I think when you grow up, you know, show me a 15-year-old kid who feels beautiful, and I'll show you a weirdo. Okay,
yeah.
So I was also tall. I mean, I was 5'8" in sixth grade. I could look down the hallway of my school and see my sister Christine standing at the other end over everybody else's head.
You were a tomboy.
I was a tomboy. I played every sport there was. I played street football. I was the quarterback. Yes, I was a tomboy.
Your parents sound like they were supportive. Were they supportive?
My mother didn't really love the idea of me modeling because she had been a showroom model way back when, and she just thought it's the most horrendous job ever. My father was very supportive. He collected all my covers. And in essence, I'm glad I had both points of view because it made me cautious that my mother was so cautious about it, but it also gave me the ability to have a lot of fun because my father enjoyed what I was doing. I grew up here in College Point, New York. My father built our house. Then I moved out further out the Long Island and have been here pretty much my whole life.
You're known for modeling. You're known for a lot of things, but really modeling is your forte. When did it start?
Actually, I'm going to correct you on that, Frank, Mr. Trivia, Mr. Carol L. Trivia. I only modeled for 4 or 5 years. I've acted for 25 years, and I've been an author for the last 7 years. So you can imagine, you know, in my brain when people say, oh, supermodel, for me that was something that was like, oh, I was a waitress in high school. It was the stepping stone to so many other things. I never even think about it as that I'm a supermodel. What I think about is, where am I going from here? And what's the next thing I can do? And everything I do, all the things that I'm focused on, is to help other people.
When's the first time you felt like a celebrity?
I never did. I still don't, because there are moments when people, what's your name again? And there are moments when people chase you down the street for an autograph. So it's a very dyslexic business. I mean, I always say there's the Carol Alt with the big C and the Carol Alt with the little C, because there are times I feel like the Carol Alt with the little C, that I get lost in the shuffle, that people, you know, don't want to pretend like they don't know you. And then there's the Carol Alt with the big C who gave the Pratt Awards or who is going to give the FIFA Awards or who comes on your show. Life has a way of humbling people.
We'll be back right after this with Carol Alt.
Turning Point with Frank McKay is brought to you by Atlantic Honda, New York's auto giant, and Herman Katz, Kanjimi and Klein, property tax attorneys and advisors. The Turning Point is brought to you by Smith DeGroat Real Estate, serving the tri-state area since 1955, and CAI, Insurance Solutions since 1961, on the web at www.conferenceny.com.
We are back with Carol Alt. Carol, if you had to give someone credit for finding you, for finding Carol Alt, Who would it be?
I think it's a group effort. I was out here working for the Scotto Brothers at their restaurant.
Out here on Long Island.
Out here on Long Island working with the Scotto Brothers at their restaurant. And a photographer came in named Burt Rockfield, and he said, you should be a model. And I'd heard that so often, I just kind of sloughed it off. He gave me his number. 2 weeks later, my boyfriend broke up with me, and I was like, I don't want to be on Long Island. I'm getting out of here. So I made the phone call. I called several agencies. But it was elite that when I went in there, they said, do not move. Let us get rid of all these other girls. Don't move.
John Casablancas?
It was John Casablancas' agency, but the girl was Lisa Branigan. Her sister-in-law had that movie, that song, Gloria. Gloria.
Yeah.
Gloria. Yeah, that was her sister-in-law.
Laura Branigan.
Her name was Lisa Branigan, and she was the scout, basically. So she found me, and then she brought me to Monique Pilar, who was the vice president. I didn't meet John Casablancas, who was the owner of Elite, for 2 or 3 weeks. But Monique tied me to a chair.
Who was the first people or the first person that you remember in the press that really started following the supermodels as a celebrity?
That would have to be Page Six. Page Six at the time was really...
New York Post.
The New York Post. Because I was doing Sports Illustrated, and then I was dating a New York Ranger, and a couple of other high-profile people, and Rex Smith and Warren Beatty. So at that moment, they were following everything I did. So they were really the first people, the New York Post were really the first people who... And you got to remember, this is before People magazine.
This is before the 24-hour news cycle also.
This is before everything.
Yeah.
I just dated myself.
Well, let's talk about the boundaries, though, between professional and personal. You mentioned that Ron Greshner, that was your husband, right?
Yes.
You had gotten married, and both of you got a tremendous amount of attention off of that. But you also mentioned Rex Smith.
Yes.
Now, I mean, is there a situation where a manager or a publicist says to you, hey, this would be really good for your career if you dated Rex Smith?
They had no clue about my personal life whatsoever. I met Rex Smith at Studio 54 one night. I allowed myself on Thursday nights to go out till 11 o'clock. Every other night, I was working, and I went home early. So 11 o'clock, and so I met Rex at like 10 o'clock. I danced for 45 minutes and left. Next day, it was in all the papers. They called me, oh, you're in the papers. It was fun and interesting and different, but nobody made the connection that you're on Page Six, and that's going to raise how much work you get. Nobody made that connection because models were nameless people. They were just faces. In fact, at that moment, CoverGirl didn't even want me speaking. I begged CoverGirl for years, let me speak.
Interesting place to stop. We'll be right back with Carol Alt.
The Turning Point is brought to you by Smith DeGroat Real Estate, serving the tri-state area since 1955, and CAI, Insurance Solutions since 1961, on the web at www.conferenceny.com. Turning Point with Frank McKay is brought to you by Atlantic Honda, New York's auto giant, and Herman Katz, Kangemi and Klein, property tax attorneys and advisors.
Welcome back. Our special guest today is the multifaceted, best way to put it, Carol Alt. Carol, we're doing a little bit of the history of modeling here, or super modeling, and I know that you were the first model to have a web page back in 1990.
Yeah, by default, really. I had a nephew, Ron's nephew, who was just this web genius.
Ron Greshner,
New York Rangers at the time. His nephew was just a web genius, and he put me on the web. And the weird thing was, is somebody had bought my name. So I couldn't even have carolalt.com. I had to have modelcarolalt.com or whatever, because somebody bought my name. So before, when you asked me, you know, were there ever inklings or moments, there were like small glimmers of moments that I thought, why would somebody want my name? Am I big enough that somebody would want to buy my name? I mean, they buy Madonna and Miller Beer and Budweiser and all these big names back then. What they were doing were blocking domain names, so these people would have to go to them to buy the name so they could have the website, because they saw where the web was going. But in 1990, who knew? It was just a novelty. It was just, okay, let's put some pictures on there.
Let's talk about reality and perception. You're a celebrity. We know that. You have to know that you're a celebrity. Most of your friends and most of the people that you're around are celebrities, I imagine. You're a very down-to-earth person. But when you get into a situation where everyone you know is someone famous, how close to the outside world are you? Right? I mean, you go from...
Yeah, from studio to studio. Right. I understand what you're saying. Yeah, there were moments in my career, especially when I was modeling and doing movies, that you live in a cocoon because the agency takes care of everything. This is your flight. This is where you're being picked up. This is your hotel. This is your schedule. You have a three-month schedule. You're working every day. Your days off. You sleep, and then you catch up with things that you have to do the following week. So, yes, it was a cocoon. For 22 years, I lived from set to set, having everything done for me by an agent. I think I more started getting in touch with the world and what was happening in the world after I started acting so much. Like, it came to a point where I had no life. My marriage was ruined by being away all the time. I was working so hard. I had worked myself into ill health by not eating correctly and working so hard. And there came a point where I just said, I have to cut back. And I think that's actually when I met Alexei Yashin, when I was shooting I was doing a series called Amazon up in Toronto. And I realized when I was shooting that series, I'm sitting in Toronto working 18 hours a day. On Friday nights, we'd work 22 hours. I would literally go from the bed to the couch to the kitchen to the bathroom to the bed over the weekend. I couldn't move any further or any faster because I was so exhausted. And then we'd start Monday again. I realized I have no family. I have no relationship to speak of. My mom came to the airport at 6 o'clock in the morning to pick me up. Like, you know, it doesn't matter where you travel around the world, it's family. Yeah. She came and picked me up, and I saw her standing there, and I burst into tears. I was like, I had nobody. All I had was this career, which I was only as good as the last thing you do. And when I met Alexei, I looked at him and I said, there's a choice to be made here. I either get some kind of balance so I can have a relationship, or I have to leave him or leave that. Those were my choices, because I can't just keep working and modeling and acting and writing and not have someone in my life, but I can't just have someone in my life that I'm clinging to and not having anything I'm passionate about. And striking that balance was so difficult. And balance is so important in life. If you say to me, what's the one most important thing in your life? I would say that has to be balance. There's got to be moments of pleasure and laughter and moments of hard work and concentration. And they have to balance out. And in this moment, I had done nothing but hard work and concentration. And I was a shell. And I saw this man, and I said, I walked across the room, I gave him my number. And the next time he saw me, he said, why did you give me your number? I said, it's not something I normally do. I said, but I wanted to take the risk. I don't know if we're going to last one day, 10 days, 100 years. I'm taking this risk. Take it for what it is.
Did he understand at first your level of celebrity?
Not at all. That was what's so intriguing about Alexei. Because when I met him, his agents were like, you know how that is? And in his mind, he just wanted to come across the room and have the picture with the prettiest girl in the room because everybody else had one. Like all the hockey players coming, can we take a photo? So I was taking all these photos. I met him at the NHL Awards in Toronto. I was shooting my series. He lived in Ottawa. He came down because he was up for the Hart Trophy. I saw this guy. I went, oh, that's the last thing I need after Ronnie is another hockey player. Like, I have to go in another direction. But just my heart just spoke, and he came walking across the room, and I was looking at him coming at me, and I'm like, looking behind me to see who he's walking towards. And he said, can I have a photo? And I thought, oh, he can't even speak English, this guy. I had no clue who he was, and he had no clue who I was. We took the photo, and we were standing there with our arms around each other, and I'm like, well, where's your camera? He goes, my agent, my man. And I guess people were passing in front. I couldn't say, I'm like, oh, I know this joke. I know this trick. He goes, no, no, no joke, no trick. And he got all red. It was very sweet, you know. And we took the photo. We have that photo. He's got it in his house. I have it in all my houses. And, you know, it was a real moment. And when I walked across, I said, you know, if you're ever in Toronto, and I put my hand, and he grabbed the number out of my hand. He said, I'll give you a call. He called me the next morning at 8 o'clock after being out with Wayne Gretzky until 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was already gone. I had already left for Monaco, where I was shooting a commercial for skincare, and I came back 2 weeks later, and his message was there. I'm so sorry, this wasn't one of the... He goes, no, so how are you? Wow, somebody talking to me on the phone. Like a person, not like a business. Oh, this is what you have to do in that way. And you click. He started talking to me, and I was so inept at talking on the phone like a person. I was like, I'm fine. You know, it was an oddity because the phone for me was just business and bad news. Yeah.
We're going to take another quick break. What stands out about all of that you just said is my houses. His house, my houses. We'll be back with Carol Wald.
Turning Point is brought to you by PC Wealth Management of Morgan Stanley Smith Barney and the law firm of Duffy & Duffy, protecting the victims of medical error.
And we are back with Carol Wald. Carol, what was the turning point in your life, or if you prefer, what was the turning point in your career?
Can I give you one of each?
Please.
Okay, the turning point in my career, of course, was I started modeling. The minute I walked into that agency, Lead to New York City, and Lisa Branigan looked at me and said, "Do not move." And Monique said, "Chain this girl to a chair." And John said, "Give up that scholarship or I will pay for your education." In that moment, my life, which always had a plan A and a plan B was to go back to school, became just plan A. I was going to do this career. So that's really what started me on this. In my life, I have to say that there's been several, but the latest one was meeting Alexei, because it really changed my career and my life both together, because I really had to make choices when somebody becomes that important to you in your life.
Let's talk about some of your other activities other than modeling.
Okay.
Let's talk about your books.
Yes.
And you have three books.
I have actually five books, two in the modeling industry, This Year's Model and Models, Inc., which
is a novel.
They were novels, but they were based in reality, based on my career, and I did it because I saw these girls coming in and floundering, not understanding how to have a career. So I created a fictional character, but took them through a career so they had something to follow. Then I wrote three books on health, Eating in the Raw, The Raw 50, and my new book, which is out this year, it's Easy Sexy Raw, which I think is my best book, because it has a swapping list, a shopping list, it has a turn it raw, so you can have your cook food and then see different ways to add raw to it, just to help your health. Because I had damaged my health so much, I just knew that there were so many other people out there that were suffering the same thing. And I went from taking all these little pills and over-the-counter stuff for all these little ailments to doing nothing like that, but eating fabulous, wonderful, incredible raw food. Like, I took Paul Sorvino for ice cream, raw ice cream. It's the best ever. So I wanted to teach other people about that. So those are my three books. And then I have a fabulous skincare line. Everybody says, how do you keep your skin? That's how I keep my skin. It's called Raw Essentials. We're in Duane Reade, New York City, and then we're national in Ulta in the United States, and we're national in the Shoppers Drug Mart in Canada. And we're between Olay and L'Oreal, but we are the chemical-free, all raw, unbelievable, fabulous results. Your skin will glow. If it doesn't, send it back to me. And then I have a line of jewelry at Sears called True Harmony. Again, based on health. They're butterflies. The butterfly is the symbol of transformation and metamorphosis. And on the back is a green stone, which brings in the healing energy. So everything I do is about health and education. All of these things, that's the most important thing to me, is educating other people to make them healthy and happy.
Let me bring up one thing.
Yes.
That probably has nothing to do with health or education,
okay,
but maybe health. Playboy. You posed for Playboy at 48 years old. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Frank, but you are wrong, Mr. Trivia on Carol Alt. No, I did Playboy, and Playboy came to me and they said, you know, they came to me in 1985. In 1985, I would have been the first supermodel, and that was interesting to me. But
who ended up being the first supermodel?
Paulina did it. Because CoverGirl said they didn't want me to do it. And then when they came back again, I said, like, why would I do this? So many other girls have it. And at 25, it's so easy to be sexy, you know. But now when they came back again, I thought, you know what? I'm 48 years old. The only reason I'm still standing, and I look damn good for 80, the only reason I'm still standing at this age is because I went raw. And I wanted to use Playboy as a platform because I needed to ripple the waters, because I'm so uncontroversial, because what I love is to just do my work and to just show up and be happy and make everybody happy around me. And all these people who are crazy and doing all these mean and nasty things are getting all the press. And I thought, well, let me do something a little controversial. Let me throw some chocolate chips in my vanilla ice cream and do this to get people talking. And I went to my mother and I said, this is what I'd like to do and this is why I'd like to do it. And she went, oh, Carol, for heaven's sakes, I see more than that in the museum. So once I got my mother's blessing, you know, because I didn't want to ever do anything that embarrassed her. And everybody loved it. All her friends came to her, you know, More power to her. She's 49 years old, and she did Playboy without retouching. But raw food was the reason I could do that. And I teach in my books how easy it is to do it, which is why it's called Easy Sexy Raw.
A lot of women wish they could do that at 20. We've been with Carol Ault, and you've been a wonderful guest. I appreciate
you
being here.
Thank you. I've had a great time here. You're a terrific interviewer.
Thank you. And thank you for being with us. And again, the multifaceted Carol Ault.